What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology coming to Prime Video on April 25th. This series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, premiering on April 25th.
The following program is rated TV MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Babe, how are you? Jinx.
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing so good. I just got out of a yoga class. I'm having
so
a really
jealous.
Thank you. I'm having a difficult time because I usually do HPF, which is like a set flow, so it's always the same every time I go.
What does HPF stand for?
Hot power fusion.
Power.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so I usually take that, and it's the same sequence, but I was like, well, now that I got this movie in Thailand, and I play, and I read the script, and I'm like a professional, like, scuba diver, and pretty much the entire movie is me in a bikini. I was like, fuck me, of course it is, like, right after the holidays, when I'm, like, just now getting on to my New Year's kick. You know, it takes me, like, 3 weeks to, like, get
right.
back into shape
right.
and feel good. And, of course, I'm like, I have so much shit going on, like, 3 days at Disney for a bachelorette party. And
oh,
I know I'm
going
to eat like shit. And then
yes.
I went yesterday to Disneyland, so I ate like shit. I'm like, fuck!
You're making it harder for yourself.
Oh, completely. But, like, my body is, like, you know, it's a lot harder now as you get older to get back to... You know, you're what you want your body to look like. It takes longer now rather
you
than
think?
Like, I know, but it just sucks. I remember
it
when it
sucks.
I remember when it was like 3-4 days and I'm like, okay, I'm good.
Oh my God.
I'm back. Brittany's back.
I was never like that. Even in my 20s, I was never like, I needed
really?
To be consistent. It really was about the consumption of food for me. Like
yeah.
I just really needed to eat healthy. I mean, and I worked out so much, I allowed myself to have my treats though. Like I wanted to have French fries, so I wouldn't like,
yeah.
deprive myself of that
yeah.
stuff. I would just eat earlier and be more, if I wanted pasta, I would have it for breakfast. Like just trying to like
totally
figure out what worked for me.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing. I mean, you know, like everybody knows my gut health. I'm just like still trying to figure out what works for me. And
yeah.
I've completely like got rid of pescatarian. So I'm now trying chicken. So trying to do that sort of stuff
Wait,
at night.
I'm confused. You were a pescatarian?
Yeah, I was pretty much a pescatarian and I would eat meat every so often.
Oh.
When like I was run down, like my blood type needs meat.
Okay.
Unfortunately, but me processing meat is not the greatest. So but red meat. So now I'm trying, and I'm not like a fan of fucking chicken. So I've never like been like, let me just do it. But now
so why
I am.
Do you need, why do you need the red meat? You think because of the iron? You iron deficient?
Yeah, I think so.
So why don't you take, when I was pregnant, my doctor prescribed me, it's liquid iron.
Okay.
So you can get it at a health food store or something. Because the iron pills never really absorb properly because I had such bad inflammation from my Crohn's disease. So I would not get the vitamins and nutrients that I needed from food because I couldn't really eat fresh stuff. Because if I ate anything that wasn't cooked, I would be in like horrific pain.
My
I remember
God.
My doctor telling me that if I wanted to have salad, if I wanted to have a salad, I needed to put it in a blender.
Yeah, salad. I can't process salad very easy either.
Do you drink, like, can you blend stuff or like drink shakes, or does that?
Yeah, I can. Actually, Tom, can you make me a shake? Speaking of shakes, I would eat anything today.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, that's why, you know, everybody would be like, how are you just doing like protein shakes until dinner? And I was like, yeah, because of my stomach.
It feels better, yeah.
It just feels so much better. Like I can have like the protein and like have the little baby bars and then at night have my big meal and feel fine. But I work out so much that that's not... I can't. It's if I want to see a difference, I have to start eating. So I'm trying to do that. And then of course I'm going to Thailand. And I'm like, Pad Thai, Pad Thai.
I really wish I could come visit you. When are you leaving?
I leave on the 12th. My party's on the 10th. Danielle Harris.
I can't be there.
Why?
Because I'm going to a concert and there's so much stuff going on here. I feel like every weekend in February I've got shit going on.
Yeah, no worries. I'm going on the 12th and then we start filming on the 16th. And then, oh, look at Cody got a haircut. Look at him.
Oh, he's so handsome. Hi, Cody.
Hi, Cody. And then I think I come back on the 5th or the 6th of March.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So guys, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to record. How are we going to record? Are we going to do like episodes before you leave just so we make sure we don't miss a Tuesday?
I think we might have to, which I'm so bummed because it would be such a beautiful like beach vibe. Maybe we should just do one while I'm there, but I think we should. I mean, you're coming into town and we're recording. It's crazy, guys, like trying to figure out our schedules.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking that we should do all women guests for the month of February.
All women?
We haven't had any chicks on.
Okay, I'm down. Well, I've got two
girlfriends on. You've got two, and then I was thinking we can get some of our other like scream queen girlfriends to come on and dish with us, because I know that I wanted them to like be our first guests, and I'm sure they're like, what the fuck? They never ask us.
Yeah,
you know, we look great for everybody else. I was like, let's have it be like ladies' night, ladies' Tuesdays. You know,
that sounds fun
for the loving month of February for everybody.
Ladies month for February. I
got your birthday present today in the mail.
What?
I got your birthday present
today. Look how excited I got.
I'm very excited by it.
So Tom wanted to get me a new computer, and I was like, no, I don't need a new computer. I just need to figure this out. Which, right, by the way, I think it might work because we got that thing to plug in straight into the router. So hopefully, guys, we don't have any mishaps here.
Now that David's not editing anymore, he's going to be like, of course, now you
fuck you. I know. But anyway, so I was trying to, because I'm going to be gone and I don't know. He might have a role in this movie. I'm trying really, really hard. But anyways, I was like, all I want are sweats for travel. I just want sweat sets for travel. That's it. I'm just tired of like, I want to be comfy when I travel. And when I see all these girls in like these sweats and like this
pullover.
I want just loungewear.
You just want loungewear. You want cute loungewear you just need a pair of really cute sneakers. Like that's what I do. Yes. I'll do like cute sweats with like cute high tops or something. So not like my dirty running shoes from being outside in the dirt. And like cute, you know, a little like sweater hoodie or something with a matching beanie. Like something where you look cute.
Yes.
But you're comfortable.
Yes, exactly. But I'm not a sneaker girl, so I'm trying to find out.
What the fuck are you gonna wear with your sweats? Why don't you wear like some cute wedge sort of like high top like Nikes or something? Or like Pumas, like guys, or Vans. Why don't you wear Vans?
I don't know. I've got to try them on. I just haven't, you know, because like my height, I've always wanted like some sort of, I've always worn some boots for so long.
Can I recommend my favorite pairs of shoes?
Yeah,
They're called Hoka, H-O-K-A.
Hoka, okay.
And they are, like, I have such horrible pain in my feet all the time. Mostly it was when I like was, you know, got pregnant, probably from like doing ballet bar classes and like not properly taking care of my feet after, you know?
Yeah.
So I love their sneakers because they have these crazy crazy support. It's like walking on a cloud. But I love is they've got hiking boots that are like sneaker boots. And they've got a big, like, thick, chunky sole. So it gives you like 3 inches, but it's okay. It's like you're walking on air. It feels so good on your feet, and they're super cute. So I'll have to send it to you.
Okay.
I'm coming to LA so we can record. I'm coming, you know, then. So I'm going to give you your birthday present before you leave.
Yay!
I have to bring it with me, but that's okay. Oh my God. I'm flying Southwest.
Is it a brand new car?
It is not, but I am jealous because I would want it, which is why I bought it for you.
Oh, really?
Yes. I only buy things for my friends that I want.
I love that. I mean, it was so funny. When I went to go visit Danielle, I don't know if we talked about this, but... we went to the same store and we got the same exact jacket. Yep. So now I know if I ever buy something, I know that you'll like it.
Oh yeah,
for your birthday. So I'm like, oh, okay, for sure. I know, yeah, I know 100%. What you'll like. So somebody,
what I bought you, I have just different.
Oh really? Oh yeah, God, amazing.
Oh yeah.
So somebody sent me something pretty embarrassing, and I was trying to figure out if I should share it or not. But I was like, fuck it, YOLO. Let's YOLO today. So back when I was a teen bopper, there was something called the Hollywood Hooligans.
Okay.
And it was when my mom and my dad wanted me to be the triple threat, and they wanted me to sing.
Yes.
And I fucking hated it. I hated singing. I didn't mind like singing for an audition or for a movie role, but like being a singer, like that sort of vibe is like... traumatizing for me. And so they would take me to these showcases where we'd have to perform
yes
in front of people, and I fucking hated it. And like my heart was like, I felt like my heart was gonna fall on my asshole. Like that's like how like nervous I was. And this was easy, also like learning the songs didn't come really fast, like easy for me. Going into the studio, like if I didn't know my shit, like it was just like traumatizing. Anyway, and my mom wrote my songs. Like, oh my God. Wrote my songs. And so she wrote this song. I think I said it to Tom just now. Freak Show. So if you guys would like to listen to it, here we go, Danielle.
Oh, God. I can't hear you.
Oh. They can hear it.
It's so good though.
Oh my God.
You sound like Britney Spears meets Avril Lavigne.
That's literally what I was. That's literally
like,
what
you
I
did
was.
This, like very Britney. Like that, like I can't even do it. I don't know what it is.
Hello, Miss Freak. But it was all nasally.
Nasally,
like,
yeah.
I was not like a belter because I wasn't a singer. So I was like that like Katie Rose like vibe or like Avril Lavigne. Like
yeah,
completely.
Totally. And but so like that sounds like something I would have heard on like a Disney movie.
Literally, like that's what like my mom was trying to do.
Hotel Transylvania or like a cartoon, yeah. Like something
very Lindsay Lohan.
But like, yes, for sure. Oh my God. That's good though. Watch, now you're gonna get like a record deal.
My God, my mom would be like, see? You should have done it.
Oh my God.
I think maybe it was the pressure of it all. Like it didn't come naturally. Like, I mean, also too, like what came naturally for me in acting was like the depressing parts. Like, you know?
Yes.
So then when I had to be like cheery and like, like, hey guys, like welcome to the show. Like I just, it didn't click.
I never had that kind of energy.
No.
You know, like it was always sort of like, kind not down because I'm a very sort of I think more like level. I never had that like bubbly, like over the top, super like teeny bop kind of thing, which I think is why I always played tomboys or assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like tough girls.
Same.
You know?
Same. Of my God. When we were the same age, we would have been seeing each other all the time.
I remember running into you at an audition here and there. Right?
I don't remember that. Tell me.
I saw you, I think twice I've seen you at an audition.
Oh my God.
We talked.
What?
Yes, I remember getting in the elevator with you. I remember even like I don't know what the movie was.
Was this after Halloween?
But I remember what I was wearing. Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought before.
Oh, no. It was after. Remember running into me after?
Yeah. What was that for?
I don't know. I was wearing a long black leather trench coat. I think it was like some Matrix-y sort of like thing. Mm. Some weird. I remember it was something weird. But they were seeing like a lot of people.
I just got an audition for The Rookie to play a mom of a 6-year-old. And I was like, send this to Danielle.
See, why the fuck am I not getting those calls?
What the fuck?
Send it to me. I want to do it.
I will. I'll send you like whatever. I mean, I don't understand why you don't ever
audition for anything.
Well, because it's LA. It's LA. Oh. It's like local hire.
So what?
So maybe that might be why.
I fly myself in just to get some TV cred, you know?
It literally, like, I have to submit the audition it has to be turned in by Monday morning, and then the COVID test is that afternoon, and then it films Thursday. Like,
okay,
that
never
fast.
Mind. That's why.
Which has not been, I've never received that since I was a kid. Something that fast of a turnaround.
Right.
I'm like, wow, you really don't care who this mom is. You're going to be like, that one.
Exactly.
And I was like, me, a mom to a 6-year-old that's missing? Come on.
Well...
She's
never
missing,
say
guys.
Never.
I know. That's why Tom was like, just do it. I was like, okay, I'll do it. But like,
Most people have 6-year-olds by your age.
True.
And it depends on what kind of mom she is.
You know, I really wonder too, if like my whole persona and everything is going to change when I do have a kid.
Yes.
Yeah, completely. Yes. Like it's going to be like mommy mode. I'm a mom.
No, I think you mean for like audition purposes or character stuff? I think you're just going to go in to auditions with more like, how do I explain it? Like more feminine power and knowledge.
Okay, cool.
It doesn't have anything to do with like, oh, now I'm in mom mode. But I think it's like as a woman going through the birth process of creating another human being, it does something to you. Like, you know, physically, like there's stuff gets rewired and you're never going to go back to the other way that you were. So, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't connect. Maybe that's what postpartum, maybe there's issues with that after. I mean, I don't know the science behind it, but I definitely feel like there's something that shifts when you're like, I'm a mom now. So, I mean, maybe your roles will be tougher. Maybe you won't put as much like stress on yourself for stuff. Because you realize kind of what's important. Or it could be the opposite. Like, I don't know. Like if you need to work, I mean... I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you're going to become more of a hustler when you have a kid because you're, you know, going to be like, fuck, I've got this other thing to take care of or.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's different for everybody.
That's honestly why I just want all my ducks in a row before that day comes. Like a house is super important to me. Like just to have all these things kind of lined up before we have a kid, you know. And as much like be as prepared as possible. I know you can never fully be prepared.
No.
And I don't expect that. But just everything that I want to be prepared for in order
just know
to, like,
that your baby doesn't know anything. And,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to know if you're in an apartment, like you're not out on the street.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to know that they didn't get that, you know, that onesie or weren't able to go to fucking Gymboree or, you know, so I think that you just do the best you can with what you have and no one's ever really, really ready. I mean, I think marriage is harder than like motherhood for me. I don't know
if
other moms would agree, but I mean, I don't know. Like, it's easier to move on from things with your kids when they piss you off. Than your partner,
Know? Yeah.
So I think it's, for me anyway, but my kids are still really young. So I'm sure people that have teenagers would beg to differ at this point. At this point, they're like, I don't give a fuck about my husband or my wife doing whatever. I'm ready to kill my kid. My kid's in fucking jail. Wait, did you ever tell me you went to jail? No, you never got arrested, did you?
No, I just like when I ran away, I got picked up and got put in jail for a second. Right. Oh, but like, God. I didn't get in a cell or anything. My God, I think I've apologized to my parents like over and over about that sort of incident. I don't know what the fuck was going on with my brain, like why it was wired so differently when I was a child. I think it was just like a lot of like we've talked about it, a lot of trauma that I was like just trying to program in my mind, and what was right, what was wrong, and who was in my life, who was out. Like, I think I was just like very like, what's happening? And then, you know, I think also like being an actor and lying didn't really teach me the right and wrong from not lying in my normal life.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It was like, how do you like, okay, so you can lie and create this story here, but you can't lie about this here. It's, I think my mind didn't develop.
Well, I mean, you understand. Were doing this before your brain was developed.
Yeah, exactly.
As was I. So I don't know. I'm curious to talk to our guest that we have, one of our guests we have coming up, which I won't tell you guys yet, just in case it doesn't happen. But one of our guests coming
up. It's going to happen.
In February.
She's so excited.
I want to pick her brain a lot about the child actor stuff. And, you know, because she hit it big with her first thing out of the gate. You know, and I'm curious to hear her journey.
My God, I was a fan of hers for so long, since I was a wee little baby. So I'm very excited about that.
Fantastic. So
fantastic. Stay tuned. I want her to be, I talked to her. I want her to be in something that we direct or star in. I'm like, girl, you're in it. You're in it. Okay, amazing. This is great, y'all. All right.
So I don't know if you saw our emails, but.
I did see emails. So I wanted to. Yes. Which one? Which one?
I was going to talk about the update from our live, from our story last week.
Yes, Daniel, take it away.
So what I was thinking is I'm going to read you guys the letter that she wrote us first. So in case you didn't hear that episode and you're listening to this one, you're able to kind of follow along with what was said. So this was really intense. So here we go. Hi, gals. My husband of 5 years has been talking to a 16-year-old transgender female to male for the last few weeks. He told me he was counseling them, and now it's turning sexual. They talk every single night on the phone and over chat groups. My husband is 38. What do I do? How do I go about this? Because it's not just talking to someone else. It's crossing a line. This person is 16. I saw a few messages on this computer talking about sex and porn. Please help if you can. Love to you all. So we talked about it, and
I lost my shit.
Yeah, it's
lost my shit.
Completely insanity. Yeah. But I am happy to report that we received this email.
Let's go.
And we won't get into what we said. You can go back. You guys will go back to the last episode if you want to hear it, because we talked about it a lot. So this was the email. Hi, girls. I greatly appreciate you answering my question last week on the podcast. And I also love how caring both of you were. Scout, I'm sorry for what you went through. I was molested as a child, and it stays with you for a long time. So update is, I confronted him and he said that I am attracted to them, but I promise I won't sleep with them. So I said, we're over and I don't trust you. And I left. And I am now staying at my best friend's house until we are officially ending the relationship. Independent woman. Only one life. Thank you so much.
Good for you. Good for you. Man, it's like, it's also, it's... there's been a lot of messages that I've gotten from a few of you guys out there about being molested as a kid, and a lot of stories that you guys have shared. And I'm very, very happy that you guys came to me with it. And yes, you are all not alone, and know that there are people out there for you. I do strongly suggest therapy and work through that. I did it as a child, into my teens, into my adult years, and it has really, really helped me. That stuff doesn't go away. It'll never
nothing
go
changes
away.
If nothing changes.
Exactly. So just know that you're not alone out there, and thank you so much for reaching out.
On another note, we got another. So here's, so that's the follow-up. Mm-hmm. And then here's, I have a question, because I actually didn't know how to answer this, and I thought, I mean, between the two of us, we can figure it out.
Okay.
So they would like to stay anonymous. Anonymous, please. Hi, ladies. I love you both so much. Every week I look forward to the podcast. You both are amazing. Thank you, girlfriend. My situation is I've been in a weird closed poly relationship for going on 8 years now. He has another woman and both her and I are only with him. Within those 8 years, I've had this secret life on my phone. I sext, I video chat, and on very few occasions met men who I've known long before my man and I were, before my man and I were ever a thing. I've gone as far as to leave the room for my man's to go into a video chat with another guy. I don't have feelings for these men. My heart and soul is with my man. He's my everything, but now my life on the phone has been exposed to my man and he no longer sees me as the woman that he fell in love with. First thing I thought of was sexaholics, but I don't know if he will stand by me when I go through that or understand. Did you go through SA alone or did you have your other half support? Love you,
ladies. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he'll stick by your side. Honestly, I think it's very selfish to ask for someone to stick by your side. You obviously need to go to Sex Love Anonymous.
You're not supposed to be in a relationship.
Yeah, you cannot be in a relationship. You got to take care of
18 months or whatever, something.
Yeah,
like that.
You've got to take care of that stuff first before you can be healthy enough to be in a relationship. And I know it's like a struggle. I know it's really hard to like let go of someone that you think is your person. But if you ultimately want to be the best for them, because that sort of behavior is not the best for them.
Right.
And nor would you want that being done to you. You've got to go take the responsibility and the time to go work on yourself. I had to do it. I did it. I got out of a relationship. I was deeply in love with the person. It was not healthy because I was not healthy. The other person was not healthy. And I stuck by a 3-year, you know, Sex Love Anonymous journey. And now I'm in a relationship that I am like, thank God I did do that and did work on myself.
You have to. I mean, I think there's something to be said. I don't really know much about the poly world, but I don't know what that does to someone, to a woman, knowing that your partner has another woman. I don't know. Like, I watched that, you know, that show. What is that fucking show with Cody on the Sister Wives, you know? And I always wonder how. I couldn't be okay with something like that. As much as it, awesome it would be to have like a sister wife and someone to help out with just like life stuff. I don't know about, you know, how do you do that the next day? How does your husband or your boyfriend go to bed with his other person and you're just supposed to wait? Like, he has the best of, but he can do whatever he wants with who he always has someone, yet you're alone when you know your partner's intimate with somebody else in the other room or at their house. Or that would fuck me up bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me. So I understand why you'd want to go have your own thing. I don't know. I wonder if those are triggers. I wonder if those, you know, those insecurities come up when you know he's with the other woman.
But
8 years in, you know, that maybe you need to go, because I know when I was in relationships where I wasn't getting what I wanted, I would not, I mean,
reach
not
out
like,
and go to other things.
Not when I was with a boyfriend. I never cheated when I was with a boyfriend, but it was relationships when I was like dating and like he didn't call or he said we'd have plans on a Friday. And then I was like, fuck this. This happened in a relationship that I was in, actually. And I was super into it. And he was like, I think we should just, you know, be able to see other people. And I was like, okay. And all
tonight
I could think of
I
in
will.
That
tonight well, I will.
That's exactly right. All I could think of in my mind was like, it's fucking on now, bitch.
Yeah.
It is so on. Yeah. I'm a girl. Like, by the time I leave your house and get back to my house, somebody could be there waiting. Yeah. So fuck off.
Yeah.
And I did it. I made two phone calls and one came over and I was very honest about the situation. I'm dating this guy. He's not giving me what I want. I really care about him. I don't want to be dating somebody else, but I just want to have sex. And he was like, okay, cool. And that was it. And then I went out with him to this other guy, to a friend's birthday party. And the other guy that I was dating's friend happened to be there and went back and reported to him. Like, I saw her there with this guy. And he freaked out. I was like, he's like, you're there with some scumbag fucking dude. And
well,
like,
you told me.
Well, you're the one that wanted to see other people. Sorry if I actually did and you didn't.
But
that's not really my problem.
Yeah. But obviously that sort of behavior too is like,
it's awful. It's yeah. fucking awful. Why would I, how could I ever like make multiple
texts? It's like, well, if you don't want to be with me, fine. Bye. And then I'm comfortable and okay by myself. Yes. That is the goal, ladies and men. That is the goal.
Yes. The goal is to be like, no problem. If I'm not enough
for you, I will find somebody that
knows that I am enough and that will want to just be with me. And I'll go be with that person.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to say when that shit comes up. Where does that happen?
Because most likely that behavior is everybody's behavior. I've never met anyone that is not like that. So it's like, where does that come from? Like, where is it that it just switches to, like, because I mean, I talked about this all the time. There was that video of the girls, little girls, and they were asking, okay, run like a girl. And they were like running really fast. And then they were like, okay, fight like a girl. And they were fighting really, really hard. And then they did adult and they did, you know, they were like, so run like a girl. And they were like making fun of it. And then they were like, fight like a girl. And they were like, ooh, 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 ow, 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 ow.
Wow.
You know? So I was like, where does that switch?
I mean, do you think
you don't see yourself as this like, powerful being?
You don't. Relationships fuck you up. They make you second guess and think I'm obsessed with this goddamn show on Netflix.
I was second guessing myself before relationships. I was like second guessing myself before relationships.
Because, well, yeah, me too. Like wanting a boy to like me and knowing he didn't look at me that way, or that he just thought I was a friend or somebody else was prettier.
Yeah.
Or,
now imagine the internet and having TikTok all of that stuff. And now being a fucking teenage woman or a teenage boy. Oh, my God. My insecurities were fucking shit back then. I couldn't imagine what they would be like now. And it makes me so nervous.
Punky Brewster and Small Wonder. Did you ever see that show, Small Wonder?
Yeah. Yeah.
You did? Oh, my God. With Vicky the robot?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I loved her. I wanted to be her. God, I wanted to be on that show so bad.
So good.
But I think it's relationships that probably fuck you up. But I think that's a really good question. I wonder what it is, what that switch is that at some point you find yourself. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it because it's not like, oh, now I'm in a healthy relationship. Maybe it's just you do the work and you find yourself in a healthy relationship with yourself that allows you to have those boundaries.
Do you think that this would be interesting if like in school, like as young as like how do we like make our kids like not self-conscious and like see each other as equal? Like, is there something that we can like bring into the school system to start at a young age that it's just like kind of continues on? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I wonder if it's just we're wired that way. I mean, I wonder if people that, you know, like Hasidic Jews, you know, they don't have TV. You know what I mean? There's like, so they're not on the internet. You know, I'm sure now it's a little bit different than when I, you know, grew up in Brooklyn, obviously. But I think of, or like Mormon or, you know, or Amish or anyone that's extremely religious that doesn't have the same freedoms. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they have the same insecurities in school, if there's no outside influence other than like their sect, essentially.
Yeah. I wonder. I mean, like fucking little Hawaii babies are like confident as shit, man. Like those little like they're like, yo, what's up, like, you know, like I'm just like, Jesus, you guys are like confident little island babies. That's why I'm always like, maybe I should go to Costa Rica. Maybe it's in the water.
It's in the fucking water.
I know, as I try to figure out how I want to raise my kid.
You know, you something you can't figure out, and it'll change because your kid's gonna require. Both my kids, I raise them the same, and they have like different issues.
Yeah,
and I'm doing the same thing for both of them. So I'm like, I can't. There's no like right way. I think each kid's independent, and if you have more than one, you're gonna have to sort of be different. You know, they'll have different needs.
Yeah.
So here's another question. Let's that do we it. Got recently that I thought was interesting. Hi, Danielle and Scout. I'm a huge fan of you both, and I absolutely adore your podcast. I can't wait to see you both on screen together again soon, hopefully. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was going to email a few weeks ago a question, and I decided not to, and then I started watching Charmed while I was poorly and completely forgot that you both starred in it. So I took this as a sign to write in. I'm 34, almost 35, and I've been with my partner for 11 years. At the beginning of our relationship, it was exactly what I wished for. We connected. The sex was great. We fell in love. For the past year, we haven't had sex at all. Yes, I know, a fucking year. I know he adores me and does everything for me, but when I ask him about sex, he says he has a really hard job. He comes home exhausted, which I understand. I've put on some weight since we met, so I think it's to do with that. I feel embarrassed to try and be sexy now. Please share any opinions you have. What would you both do?
Hmm. Man, that's hard. That's really rough. I mean, that's like a similar situation that Tom and I went through in the beginning of our relationship where like the sex was kind of whittling down and he was working so much and it was really, really, really stressful. But I wonder if it's, I mean, obviously, I mean, your husband says it all the time, like to be able to take like some pills and stuff for men, like maybe to like get up that sort of energy. Yeah. I know Tom looked into it. I don't wonder if he's working.
I mean, it depends on how, let's see. They're married for a long time, so I'm assuming it's not someone that's young. Hard. So hormones, you know, hormones are an issue. And maybe, I mean, start to take care of yourself. I think if you're saying you put on weight, so start to take care of yourself and love yourself more, and then maybe you'll expect to be loved back the way you deserve to be. Because this, the excuses of I'm just tired, it's not, you're not tired for a year.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you've got to not accept that if sex is important to you. Sex may not be important to you. I think it's incredibly important in a relationship. It's the only way that my husband and I connect on a level that I can't connect with anybody else. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to have that. You are, if your sex life is vulnerable and you do have true intimacy, I think that that it's necessary in the relationship. Physical touch is necessary. You have to. Yeah. I mean, it's just part of human nature. So I'm more concerned about that. It seems like you both are sort of unhealthy and allowing the other person to not give you what you need. I'm going to guess that he's going to say the same thing.
And just, right? And also like communicate. Don't just like let it be like, hey, I want to have sex. And he goes, I'm tired. Okay. Like communicate like how you feel, your feelings. Like, I mean, we were supposed to go tonight or we were supposed to go do something with a group of friends. And I went up to Tom and I was like, you've been working so much. I've been working. We've been off and on. And like, I was like, our intimacy has kind of been, you know, not there. And I was like, we need to cancel
alone time
and just like chill just and like bad. Not saying like I want to like fuck you and have sex. I mean, that'd be nice, but like I just like, we just need to be connected again. Like before,
could you say that to him? Could you say, I want to just stay home and fuck you and have sex and be naked and order in food and not do anything?
100%. But for me, it was like, it was more of like, I just like, I miss like being connected. Cause right now when we connect at night, he's fucking tired. I'm tired. And I'm just like, it's just like, we just need to like relax with one another and just not be exhausted at the end of the night and actually like enjoy each other's company rather than like, don't talk to me. Pardon?
Do you have sex during the day?
Not really. I mean, in the morning sometimes, but not during the day. Like this job is so stressful. I mean, yesterday he kind of like had a, we kind of got into a serious talk of like what we want to do for our next steps. And especially for him, like, should we go somewhere that, you know, for his career and stuff like that. So there's a lot weighing on him right now. And I completely understand because I was trying to explain to him too, like I feel that too, but just in a different way. I mean, I know it's great that I have like offers like that come in, but it's not the type of movies that I'm excited about, you know?
Right.
So it's like we both are in this sort of thing. And I said, why do you think I'm hustling so much, like having all these writers write these projects or working on my TV show to try to get that work? It's like, because I'm trying.
No, it's crunch time.
Yeah. So we're both feeling it in this new year, especially because our wedding's coming up next year. And then we do want to have a kid and we do want a house. So we're starting to have like that pressure and starting, but I also, you know, I that's why I talked to him and I was like, well, we just can't like let go of this, our connection and our togetherness while we're doing these difficult things.
No, you can't.
And it's probably really helped me also like hearing you and you talk about it and how guys communicate.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But I think communication is really, really key. As long as you like open that and you guys can talk about anything, that's the key. You can talk about anything. It needs to be that you can voice anything.
It's hard to voice anything though. You gotta have the tools to like,
totally,
you know, what comes out of my mouth and what my husband hears are two totally different things, a good probably 45% of the time.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult, you know, to even though we've been together for so long, it's still a little bit easier for me to know where, you know, when he starts fights with me or when there's issues. Like I kind of usually know, like he's very simple, like usually know like what pissed him off or what started it. And it's always nothing to do with me. Most of the time it's something totally outside of our relationship or a thought that popped into his head or a feeling that came up and he was triggered by something that he probably didn't even know was going to be a trigger. And then I just have to sort of dig through it a little bit to either take responsibility or to go, this is not on me. And he's just going to have to work through this, not take it personally. But it's fucking hard, man. This shit is hard.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible. And it's hard in a good way. Like, I like the conflict sometimes because it makes us grow.
Yeah.
I like I don't like the fucking pit in my stomach.
Yeah.
You know, and knowing that, like,
Who doesn't?
You know, makeup sex is good, but it isn't, we don't really have it. Like, have you ever had sex in the middle of a fight?
You know, it's so weird because, like, that's all I used to do. Was like whenever we fight, like I would just like, we would just fuck, you know?
Would you like stop in the middle of the fight and have sex?
Yes. Oh. And then it would never get resolved. So I'm really thankful that Tom and I don't do that because it is another issue for me too, because it was my sex love anonymous going, just use your fucking vagina to get over it.
End this. Yeah.
So it was Tom and I's relationship is so different than any relationship I've had because of my behavior. My stuff. It's all my stuff.
So I was thinking about this the other day because Dave and I were in a little bit of a tiff, you know, and then we hadn't had sex in a couple of days and we were not talking much in the house and it was very uncomfortable for me and I don't like to feel that. And my desire to have sex with him because I was so upset with him was like at an all-time high.
Really?
Yes, which made me kind of take a step back and go, whoa, these are still some issues and some demons that I have because I should be upset and I should be like working through my feelings and drawing boundaries and like figuring out how to communicate instead of going like, I'm just not going to talk about it, but God, I would love to fuck the shit out of him right now, even though I hate you.
Which oh my is God, like, I'm so happy that you like recognized that.
It's
oh my
crazy.
God, that makes me so happy like, that you recognized whoa. It.
And, yeah. And I didn't, you know, but I couldn't. I mean, and the same thing happened a couple months ago when we were in a tiff and I was like, I couldn't. I remember sitting at the restaurant with him. We were just starting to get along again and being a little bit more affectionate and sitting at the bar and being like, wow, I feel like I'm on one of my first dates with him. Like the desire to the nervousness and the butterflies and the desire to kiss and the desire to like, I couldn't wait to go back to the hotel and have sex. Like that, I hadn't really been that way it's been a while, but I'm noticing more like these things are coming up for me when I'm upset. I'm wanting to numb the pain a little bit, but also I really want to connect and I love my partner. So it's like a little bit of both, like old habits die hard, you know, at least with that. It's not like, there's other people or whatever, but it's like I still have those same intentions just with my person.
Yeah.
So I've got to like figure out how to balance that. I don't know,
so
do I get
beautiful.
Into it or not?
It's so beautiful that you recognize it though. That's the fucking key. I mean, you know how like how much work it takes for somebody just to even recognize their old habits to their new habits and, right. and try to like figure out what works for you and the barrier and what bridge you want to cross.
And also like, you know, wanting to and then putting myself like in check and go, no, don't. You don't need to do mm-hmm. this to make it better. Mm-hmm. This is not going to make it better. It's not going to make it go away. Maybe for a minute, but you don't need to. So it's okay that you just go to sleep and don't feel bad about not being intimate, because you know tomorrow it's going to be even worse probably because you have another full night of not talking about stuff. And then you're like, I'm going to have to talk about it. So you're like, fuck, I can't go another night. And the only way I know to get over it is either to have sex or to talk about it. Yeah. So you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You have to talk about it, ladies and gentlemen.
You have to. You have to. I know Tom and I recently went to bed not speaking to one another.
And we've been there, girlfriend.
We don't do good doing that, but we always end up coming. We get it resolved pretty fucking fast, pretty quickly. And I have to throw props to Tom. It's mostly Tom. We're both stubborn. I'm a stubborn Pisces and he's a stubborn bull. So it's like, He always ends up going, okay, come here. And I'm like,
you have to. There's got to be one person in the relationship that does it. If you both don't do it, you'd have been broken up a long time ago.
Yeah.
Someone's got to roll over.
That is my goal this year, though, too. I mean, I'm journaling a lot. I'm trying to journal every day. I've got 3 different journals.
Good. Like, of course
you do. This one's for this one. But that's my goal this year, is to try to be that person for Tom. That, like, you know, just relaxes a little bit more when things get, like, not be as stressed, not be as, like, heightened when things I don't understand or things, like, whatever. I'm just, like, I'm trying patience,
grasshopper.
Patience. Yeah, I'm trying to get those tools that Tom provides me that I'm able to give to him. So it's always a learning thing. And it's like, if you love your person so much, it's good to, like, you know, always learn.
Do you think
be you're willing
patient,
to learn?
Do you think you're patient around me, or do you find you're more stressed out, or is it not like neither or?
No, I'm patient around. I think I'm patient around you. You're pretty like you're kind of like a positive bubble, you know. So there's nothing really that I, you know, yeah, no, I'm pretty patient around you. You have that sort of energy that it's easy to be patient around. And I think, I don't know, you and I feel like we gel pretty evenly. Yeah, we balance each other. And we also listen to one another.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
it's like,
for sure.
What do you need? Okay, cool. This is what I need. It's like very easy. Yeah, it's very, very easy. I mean, I snapped a little bit at your husband, but then we fixed it.
That's the
goal too. Is like you know, I love David, and I think it's, you know, when we had that talk, it's like, it's really nice to like, wow, we should have talked like a long time ago.
Yeah, you guys have to really get to know each other.
Yeah,
you know?
It's nice because I know your husband as your husband.
Right, right.
You know Tom as my fiance.
Yeah, it's
like
it's true.
You guys don't really know each other.
Yeah.
Other than that. So it's nice to like see the person for
us. We should go on a date with our
with
other spouses.
Yeah, sure.
Just so I know like what you feel like, or like what they're like date. You know what I mean? Like out and about, because I know so much about Tom through you and vice versa. And you're always
are you wanting to swap right now?
No.
Tom's like,
No. David would be like, are you sure you're okay with this?
Oh, my God, funny.
I'm sure
that'd be fun.
Oh, my God. Dude, could you imagine, David? Oh, my God.
No.
If we swapped partners, my husband would be so fucking awkward. Like, could you imagine Tom with, like, I mean.
For a weekend.
So
just
weird.
For a weekend. Just
no,
for, a
for
weekend.
Like, I mean, oh, yeah, it's like wife swap. Remember
wife
that
swap?
Show?
Oh my
we should
God,
do
that
it.
Would be
we
so
should do
funny.
It. And they would be like, and it would be exactly like the end of that show. We'd pull up in the limo.
Yes.
And we'd get out and they'd be like, thank God.
God.
I love
literally,
you so much.
Literally.
Oh my God, I appreciate
literally.
You.
They no, totally I feel like would. You and Tom would have a fun time. I feel like you guys would be fine. I feel like you guys are like, you guys would be fine. You guys would, you'd be working and doing you, and then Tom would be working and doing him. Yeah, and you would much. Be content. You both would be content.
We'd be like in our separate sections.
Yeah, yeah. Me, I need a little bit more TLC. So I'd be like, David, what are you doing? What's going on?
And he'd be like, why are you in
what are you
my
doing?
Garage?
What's going on? Do you need help? What's do you want to do something? On? Do you want to go
ice
skating?
Even when I walk in the garage sometimes or I walk into where he is, he looks at me like, can I help you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm always like, I'm just coming to get a soda out of the fridge. Like, yeah. Can I? I'm sorry to bother you. Like, so.
Yeah. No, I like that. Because, like, even Tom, like, when he's sitting in his room for too long, I just will go in there and I'll just be like, hi.
Oh, my God.
And just sit on his lap. But he's very like, okay, come here. You know,
oh my
let me
God.
Hug you.
No,
and
David's
you.
Not. He literally would look at you like you had, like, something growing out of your head, a third eye or something.
Oh, man. It's so funny. Everybody's so different. It's so crazy. All right. Do you want to do a 911 call?
Yes, please. And then I've got a little bit of a true crime story I'll share with
okay,
you.
Okay, cool.
Someone wrote in about.
This shit is intense, y'all. This is crazy. And I'm pretty, like, thrown that I even found this. Here we go. Let me turn this up. I guess I should hold it up to here so you can hear it.
What's the problem with your friend? I need to know.
Get a gun! He ripped her face off!
He ripped her face off?
Please,
I need you to calm down a little bit. They're on the way.
Wait, hurry up! He's killing our grandson!
Oh, it's the gorilla.
They're saying someone has a gun and trying to kill somebody.
Hurry up!
They're on the way, but I need you to give me more information. Who's doing this?
With guns!
Who has the gun?
The chimpanzee.
Don't bring the gun! You gotta kill a chimp!
What's the problem there?
Hurry up!
I need you to talk to me. I need you to calm down. Why do you need somebody there?
What? Please, God.
What is the problem?
He's killing my friend.
Who's killing your friend?
Dead, my chimpanzee. She's dead. She's dead.
Why are you saying that she's dead?
She's dead. He ripped her apart.
My God. Like, people that have these exotic animals... And, like, we were just watching videos last night of, like, this woman that was just, like, walking her cheetah. And I was like, just one wrong move, one wrong thing, and you're gone.
Yeah.
And it's happened. It's happened multiple times. Like, something just happened, and these animals
scary.
Just snap. Yeah.
I forget. I remember that story was mm-hmm. pretty big.
Yeah.
For a while. That was a
did
while
she die?
Too.
She died, right?
She died, yeah.
She died. My God.
I don't remember what happened to the lady, though. I wonder what responsibility she has.
Did you see Nope?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Okay, you've got to see it. They took the chimpanzee story and made it like a chimp was on a TV show. And the chimp, just one of the chimps just snapped. And, like, fucking killed everybody on the set.
Was that, like, one part of the movie? Or?
Yeah, it was, like, a part okay. of it. It was like a pass. Like, you know, it was insane. It, like, the rage that this chimp was, it was nuts. You
so
have to see it.
How did they reenact that? Like, was it CGI?
CGI.
It was all CGI.
CGI.
Did it look okay?
No, it looked good. I was fucking scared. I was terrified. That was my favorite part of the entire movie. I was like, this is nuts. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
What is it about?
It's literally it's about an alien alien invasion sort of thing. It's like an alien thing out at this ranch and him, I'm so terrible at explaining movies. He works for, like, the movies, and he's, like, struggling to, like, make ends meet, and his father died all suddenly on the ranch, and then now he found out that there's, like, aliens living above the ranch.
Oh, God.
So their whole thing is to try to capture it on film.
Okay.
So they can make a bunch of money. But it's literally the phrase, like, whenever something happens scary, your ultimate first thing that you say, it is for me.
Nope.
Which was amazing, which is so great. And Kiki Palmer is, like, fucking phenomenal in it. I haven't been the biggest fan of hers, but this movie, she's absolutely phenomenal. Great. Now, you should watch it. I think you'd enjoy it. And so sorry, y'all. Me explaining movies is terrible.
Me too. I wonder if it's a guy thing.
Is it?
I don't know. Like, guys can talk about movies and remember lines from movies and, like, recite shit that they saw 40 years ago. I'm like, I can't remember. Unless I've said it myself on film, I can't fucking remember it.
Yeah.
And even I probably
even
don't remember
me,
it.
Even if you were to ask me what The Little Mermaid is about, I'd be like, it's about a mermaid.
Right.
crazy.
Well, I know. I can't explain it. Which is interesting because I can break down the story in a script.
Yeah.
But I can't when I'm watching it. It's like I need to read it and do it piece by piece.
Yeah. Same.
Otherwise, I can't.
Same.
I'm looking at the name of the movie. It's Tom Hanks' new movie. Otto. Tom Hanks, Otto.
Tom Hanks is so great. He's so good. But there's been recently the roles that he's been playing. I'm like, what's going on?
So this one, it's A Man Called Otto. It's based on a book. I cried through the entire movie.
What's it on?
I went to the theater.
Oh, you went to, I haven't heard of this.
It came out, right? I think it just came out. So here's what it says. It says, when a lively young family moves in next door, grumpy widower Otto Anderson meets his match and a quick-witted pregnant woman named Marisol, leading to an unlikely friendship that turns his world upside down.
Cute.
So he's mourning the loss of his wife that died a year prior, and he's ready to leave this earth. And he tries, and just so happens that when he's about to succeed, this new couple moves in across the street in this apartment complex and changes his world. And I just fucking bawled. It was not what I thought it was going to be. I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, this is cute. This is nice. You know, it's like a holiday movie, like, you know, Tom Hanks, you kind of can't go wrong.
Yeah.
And I literally walked out of there. I don't think I've cried that hard in a movie in a very, very long time.
Really?
I didn't cry like it wasn't like, at the end I cried. Like, I literally cried at about 15 different places in the film where I had like tears pouring out of my face.
Oh, maybe we need to go see that. I wanted to go see The Whale.
I hear that's really good too.
Yeah, but maybe I'll go see that instead. We want to go see a movie tonight.
If you need a good cry, I think go see it. The Whale, I'm hoping Brendan Fraser, like, this is his comeback because
I think
he's so fucking fantastic and he deserves it. And I'm ready. I'm ready for like how Travolta came back. Like, I'm ready for Brendan Fraser to come back.
Yes.
It's time. It is time.
Root for him. All right. Do you have a true crime case?
I do. So someone sent this into us.
Oh, amazing.
I had never heard about this. Excuse me, because I pulled it off for a second while I had moved. Okay, let me see. Please hold. Here we go.
Please hold, please.
Here we go. Actually, I'm going to read this one instead because this keeps popping up in my feed. And also somebody wrote in about it. The other one is a very, very, very long story. It's about a serial killer from Houston in the 70s. But this one is recent and it's a little devastating. So I'm going to just read the article.
Okay.
This is from People magazine. And this is just about 3 or 4 days ago, this article came out. So a Utah man who killed wife, 5 kids, was previously accused of choking daughter who feared he would kill her. Michael Haight's daughter, Macy, then 14, told police that her father's abuse started in 2017. A Utah man who killed his wife, his wife's mother, and his 5 children before turning the gun on himself had been involved in 2 prior child abuse investigations before the murders, the Associated Press and other outlets report. Police records associated with Michael Haight, I don't know if it's Haight or Height, showed multiple prior allegations of violent or abusive behavior directed at his family. His oldest daughter, Macy, then 14, told the police in a 2020 interview that her father had been assaultive with her multiple times. Per Fox 13, she reportedly said that she was very afraid that he was going to keep her from breathing and kill her. The child also allegedly told police her father's abuse had started in 2017, according to the Associated Press, and those assaults involved various incidents of choking and shaking. In a 2020 police interview following the alleged abuse, he reportedly claimed that he had not attacked Macy. He did say that she was mouthy, however, and admitted that he'd grown upset with the teen. He also allegedly admitted to the police that he'd confiscated his wife Tausch's cell phone and iPad so he could monitor her text messages. He was hoping to track whether she was complaining about anything occurring within the household. She did not file charges against her husband for any of these incidents, though she reportedly told authorities that she had hoped being questioned by police would be a wake-up call for him. In a statement released Tuesday, the city officials said that 2020 investigation did not meet needed requirements to move ahead with prosecution. This release has resulted in inquiries as to policy and procedures adhered to by law enforcement in connection with these incidents. The statement reads in part, "The Enoch City Police Department takes each report of child abuse and domestic violence seriously and thoroughly investigates each and every allegation reported." The Iron County Attorney's Office told the AP in a Tuesday statement that while their office had been contacted in 2020, they determined there was insufficient evidence to pursue charges. On January 4th, the police discovered the bodies of 5 children and 3 adults who'd been shot to death inside their home. Investigators determined that Michael Haight, 42, killed his wife, Tausch, 40, her mother, Gail Earl, and their 5 children he shared with Tausch, 3 girls and 2 boys ranging from ages 4 to 17. Michael then turned the gun on himself, Enoch City Manager Rob Dotson said during a press conference. 2 weeks before the shooting, Tausch had filed for a divorce from her husband.
God, fuck.
They said that the mayor said it was too early to determine for investigators that was the motive for the killings.
Yeah.
You know, they also posted a few days ago an obituary for him that was printed in the local newspaper. It sparked outrage after it claimed the 42-year-old father who annihilated his family was actually a dedicated family man.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So
don't make me fucking vomit in my throat right now.
I know. So somebody, they took it down, of course, made it private. And then Shannon Watt, the founder of Moms Demand Action, it's a gun violence prevention organization, shared the obituary on Twitter before it was made private. And this is what it says. Obituary for the Utah man who fatally shot his 5 children, mother-in-law, and estranged wife. I'm not going to read the obituary because he doesn't deserve that time, but I'll just say that it says, Michael, quote, Michael made it a point to spend quality time with each and every one of his children. Michael enjoyed making memories with the family, end quote.
You know, okay, calling the police and making all these allegations or whatever, calling the police and saying this happened, my husband did this, my husband did that. I think it's your responsibility, whether it's a husband or a wife, it's your responsibility if your partner is being physical or is showing that sort of behavior, it is your responsibility to get out of that situation, especially if you have children. Too many times these end up easier said than done.
Look what happened. She finally had the balls to leave. She finally filed for divorce.
How many times did it take? How many kids did it take to cry out for help?
And before you also can't tell me as a mother that you don't know what's going on.
Like, that's what I'm saying. It's shame on the mom for not listening to her kids. I mean, yes, kids can't do anything. They're underage. Like, what are they supposed to do?
On the flip side, if she feared that he would do something to her children if she left or told on him, he could be threatening her. You know, I mean, obviously he fucking killed everybody and her mom. Like, he's not of sound mind. So who knows what's going on behind closed doors, what he's saying, what he's doing. Yes, 100% agree.
But there's no reason I would not stay in fear.
I think until you are in fear, you don't know. You know, it's like we always talk about, okay, if there's someone broke into our house, would you hide or would you fight? Like,
with this case, there's too many red flags, too many signs. It's like we say that all the time. There's a red flag. There's a red flag. Get out. Get out. It's like, that's completely different. Like that, there was too many red flags for this couple that she should have left.
I mean, she said, 2017 it started? Like, that's 5 years.
That's insane. That is insane.
But when you go to the police,
long gone.
Like, The daughter went
I get it,
to the police and they did nothing.
I know. I get it. That's what I'm saying. But like, that's not, if we go to the police on our husband, but then we're going to allow us to live in the house with our husband after we just went to the police and said all the shit about him.
I know.
Like that just seems.
I know. It sounds crazy, but
but this is what's going to prevent from this shit happening. You've got to leave a relationship. Women can do it as much as men can do it. If you feel threatened, if your kids feel threatened and you've gone to the police and all this stuff, I think before it, but like,
do you think that there, I mean, I think there's signs before you get married.
Oh, completely. You've got to like,
I mean, they're members of the church. They're Mormon. So I don't, maybe it was an arranged marriage. Like, I don't know the specifics, but you know, and also they don't believe in divorce.
I'm putting my story, like myself in that story. If my child, like three kids came forward on my partner and said all these things so much so that we went to the police, I would be gone.
Oh, of course.
I'd be gone.
Of course. Of course.
I'd be gone.
But you're not in that situation.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, this is just my advice. If there's anybody out there going through domestic fucking abuse and you guys are staying, do not stay. Like, it'll only get worse. It'll never get better. That person needs to do so much fucking work on themselves. And why don't put yourself in that sort of situation?
Of course not. Of course not. It's going to end up being your life or theirs.
I just think like if she would have gotten out with her kids, if they would still be alive, you know, it's just like.
I have to say I am grateful in an odd way that her mom was taken out as well during that, because I don't know how a mom could bury her daughter and her four grandkids.
I don't understand what it is in someone's mind. If we talked about this before, like partners, man or female, killing the people that they love and then killing themselves. Like what is that in someone where you want to end everybody else because of the pain that you're feeling within yourself?
I mean, you're 4-year-old.
God, I'm just like, what?
I don't know.
And how do you not see that in your partner? Like something like that. That's crazy. Like if there's no signs or anything, like this guy that just drove the Tesla off the fucking cliff to kill his entire family and they survived. Thank God. But he was driving off the cliff to end their life. And the woman said that there was no signs of this. I get that. If there's no signs, nothing. But I think
maybe
there
they're
is.
Just not looking.
They're not looking. You've got to be smart out there, you guys. There's so much like mental health issues.
You just have to listen to your gut.
Yes.
You listen
to that fucking gut.
Listen.
Yeah. Always listen. Just like me, not meeting up with that man at my grandma's house.
That's right.
You got to listen to your gut. Listen to your gut more often than not, y'all.
That's right.
Because normally it's like 99.9% correct.
Yep. You know.
You do.
You know.
How sad.
All right, girl.
All right.
I'm going to go. Have you ever seen the show BattleBots?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Wait till you have boys. You'll be watching all that shit.
Is it those machines that fight each other?
They make them. They're like nerdy groups, which are awesomely brilliant, that make these like battle robots that fight each other. And
you're
all
going
crazy,
to go do that right now?
We've been doing it. David has been doing it with the boys all morning. They've been pulling out shit in the garage and making these things to fight each other. So that was what they wanted to do. I'm like, go for it. I'm gonna talk to Auntie Scoop, and then y'all, you know, go get McDonald's and make your battle bot. So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, I love it. Oh, well, on that note, happy Tuesday, y'all.
Happy Tuesday.
Cody says bye.
Thanks for listening, and all you watching on Patreon, thank you for your support. Mm-hmm. We love you very much, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye, guys.
Bye.